Listening Library presents The Hidden Knife by Melissa Marr. Read for you by Kelsey Griffin. To Nancy Paulson. From Bunny Roo to wild horses and politics and parenthood, you get me and my words. This book exists because you understood what I was trying to say before I did. Thank you for everything. Prologue. The gargoyles were the first creatures to leave the netherware. They hadn't planned it, and they didn't do it to impress the rest of the things that lived between worlds. They were simply curious. There was a door. On the other side of it was sky. The air tasted lighter, and the light was gentle. In the netherware, the sky was indigo with streaks of green and purple. Sometimes there were thick pinks. The new sky was brighter. One of the eldest gargoyles, a giant-eared wonder called Rupert, stood at the door to the new world and watched as hundreds of his kind took flight. He waited, trying to decide if he wanted to go through the door. The thought of flying without so much effort was tempting. In the new world's lighter air, even the weightiest among them soared like the fairies could. And as if summoned by the mere thought, one of the fairies darted at Rupert. The fairy's vicious teeth couldn't pierce stone, but that never stopped them from trying. The tiny clack of fairy teeth was almost their version of a greeting by now. Rupert shook the beast off as its little teeth scraped his shoulder.
"Stop that!"
"All of you?"
The fairy nodded toward the door.
"All go?"
Rupert looked back at the forest. The tree boughs were nearly empty. Maybe they had already left. Or maybe they were coming back now. Or later. Time was different to gargoyles. It was forward and backward at once.
"For now," Rupert said.
The fairy's wings made a whirring sound, beating faster than anything should rightly move. But that was fairies. Always too fast, always too excited. Really, they were too much of everything.
"We will go too," the fairy said.
Rupert nodded slowly. He might have said more, but by the time he'd lifted his eyes, the tiny pest was gone. It flew away in a blur of glittering wings and buzzing sounds. As he watched it go, Rupert understood why some creatures lied. He wished he could lie to the fairies to prevent them from going through the door, but gargoyles didn't lie. Rupert shook his feathered head and flew into the soft blue sky on the other side of the door. As he gazed down at the ground, he saw strange featherless creatures that looked a lot like the fairies, but lacked wings. They swarmed all over fields and towns, clustered on boats and atop carriages, and darted in and out of buildings. Other beings from the netherware were also spilling into this new world. The opening of the gate was hard to resist. There were new lands, new adventures, and when you lived such a long life, the new was tempting. Rupert watched it all. Kelpies running toward waterways, wee dragonettes seeking warm hearths, and fairies hurtling toward forests. The two-legged creatures who were here first stared at the new arrivals too, sometimes in awe, sometimes in shock. Rupert would find a purpose here, a reason, a mission. The tall spires and jagged arches of some of the most splendid buildings here didn't draw his attention. He continued on, feeling the hum of magic, the drawing of wards, the prickle of ley lines. The lines in the new world, great under-earth streaks of energy to use for magic, were tucked under the soil. These ley lines were how the gargoyles saw future things and now things. They were particularly strong here, and Rupert's mind felt muddled. He flew toward one of the plainest buildings he'd seen in this world, knowing that the plainest exterior was often a disguise for the most interesting discoveries. He would make a nest here, a place to return and watch this new world. Rupert settled down on the ledge, and those gargoyles that followed his leadership came in for a landing all around him. He stretched his wings wide and stared back at the beings on the ground who were craning their necks to see him. They opened their mouths, but nothing they said aloud made sense. Many of their thoughts were noise, but Rupert pulled a taffy-like piece of energy from the ley line and began to learn their language.
"What are you?"
he asked. The creatures swarmed at first. Then one of them met his gaze and said, "I am Teek, a human, a boy, a student here at the school." The human boy creature was a spindly thing. A long twist of hair was bound at the back of his head, reminding Rupert of a Kelpie's tail. His skin was dark, like the gargoyles as well. Teek held a metal stick that was as pointed as Rupert's own beak, but long and thin. Rupert stared at it curiously. "It's a sword. I'm training to serve the Glass Queen."
"Why?"
Then Teek laughed. It was a happy noise, especially for a creature determined to serve a queen.
"You're strange. What are you?"
"Gargoyle. From the Netherwhere."
"Nightshade! Sweeney, come here!" Teek waved to a few other small humans. When they reached him, he said, "The astronomers were right. The world door opened."
"Not the world door. Just a door between your world and the Netherwhere,"
Rupert corrected, peering at the other humans. Nightshade was a keen one, and he had the smell of the Netherwhere already on him. Sweeney had a strange rounder shape. He seemed soft, where Nightshade and Teek were narrow.
"Did everything come through?"
Nightshade asked, with more than a touch of fear in his voice. Rupert eyed him with more interest.
"The fairies did. Kelpies?"
Nightshade's eyes widened, but he said nothing.
"Kelpies?"
Sweeney asked.
"Water horses,"
Nightshade whispered. Rupert explained.
"Four-legged beasts that breathe water and land air. Hide the colour of blue milk, carnivorous, messy things. They will be a problem for your kind. Our sort is not meat, but you are all meat and bone."
"Yes. The Queen will need to know," Teek said. "I'll tell the headmaster and request a meeting with Her Majesty to share what you learn."
"If he will let us meet her," Sweeney muttered.
Rupert looked at the boys. He was not sure what a headmaster was, or who served whom here. What he did know was that the door opening would lead to changes, and these young creatures might be in peril. Gargoyles were not left this defenceless when they were young. Sweeney walked away to join a female human who was swinging her pointy sword thing at a group of boys. The girl was dark-eyed and dark-haired. Her arms had thin white lines where skin had bled and healed again. And she was as tall and strong as the boys, who were all trying to take her weapon. Rupert stretched his clawed feet out, scratching the ledge in the process, and watched the girl laugh as she unarmed each boy.
"Tell me of this queen," the gargoyle said.
Young Teek was eager to do so. His lips curved in a curious expression that Rupert understood meant happiness because of the words that followed. "She's only a few years older than us, but already she's a queen. She's going to create a new empire, rule the world, and if we're good enough, we can serve her." Teek shoved his shoulders back. "She's called Evangeline, like an avenging angel."
"Angel?
You know,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?